All right, we ready to rock?
Sure are. Let's do this. I don't know why it's not going.
That was so anticlimactic.
I know. Wait, we're, so everything's in. What the?
Ted, why you been having a rough week? What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I'm just fired up about not meeting enough women. I'll explain it.
About not meeting enough women?
Yeah. Oh,
it, that's what I'm saying. Time to up the numbers?
Fired up in a good way. But it's nothing bad. I was just like, I'll get into it.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 198. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'm going to be hosting this here podcast, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Somewhere on a video machine, through a computer, is my burner buddy, my good friend. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
The NASDAQ Composite Index posted big gains today on the back of a recent U.S. Department of Treasury report indicating financial market reform is imminent. The SEC has opened investigations into a pump-and-dump scheme by one or more hosts of the podcast. Early reports indicate the CEO could be indicted as well as longtime co-host Cobb. Mr. Smith has been cleared of any wrongdoing. Shares down just 2.25%. Did the boys profit at your expense? Dial 117-215 to join the class action lawsuit. Wait, what?
All right, back down the wheels of steel, getting the whole studio set up. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, man?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, dude?
Fired up.
Yeah, man.
Fired up to hear about you being fired up.
All right, so let's just get into it.
All right.
So basically, a couple weeks ago, as everybody heard, I was down in, I was down in Dallas, and we were hanging out, and as Cobb will attest, there was a lot of fine women down there.
Hot.
Right? So I don't know if I've just been slacking or whatever, but it has ignited a fire in your boy Ted Smith. Like literally, right? Like some mutual friend of ours invited us to like this Friendsgiving, right? In like early November. So I was looking at it today, and then I just said out loud in the studio, I was like, is it rude to like send her a message and be like, are these girls single? Like I see a bunch on the invite list, but like, are they single?
Dude, that's you got to go rude. Private research, man. I mean, that's what Facebook stalking is all about. You know, at the end of the day, that's the value of the platform in my mind.
Yeah, that's a strong point.
Yeah.
But you don't know, man.
Zuckerberg's kicking back, making billions off guys like you and me right now.
Yeah. Well, so it's funny, like when Matt walked in today, I was just getting worked up. And I was like, man, like I got to stop hanging out with so many couples. And nothing wrong. Like, I like everybody in the group and stuff. I was just like the Halloween party. I was like, last year I brought girls, but if I don't bring girls, ain't nobody bringing girls to that party.
I mean, look, dude, here's the thing. You're a guy's guy. I'm a guy's guy. That's why this podcast works. But, you know, I'm not going to say there's not downsides to that. I mean, obviously, you know, like neither of us have a ton of hot women friends. Okay, let's be real. And so, you know, you're probably going to have to go outside your normal social circles.
Right. But we're right. And we're single. Like if we had hot women friends, we'd be trying to hook up with them. Well, my theory is, right, like, generally if I have a female friend, it's because she's married or in a long-term relationship. Like, I don't have too many female friends.
You want to harvest her friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's clear boundaries. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if I'm just hanging out with an attractive single girl, like, I don't know, after a while, it's going to be like, let's do this.
God damn, boys. Matt, harvest? Where are you going to use this harvest? These are people. These are human beings.
I was just saying, you know, you network.
I like harvest, man. It's fall. Like, he's making a good point. Like, I mean, do I sound like somebody that doesn't need to harvest something?
Boys, I don't know if this is the best foot to get started off on when we're trying to, you know, hook up with and eventually marry women, is thinking of them just as crops to be harvested.
Yeah, but I got to be honest with you, man. Like, at this point, it's just a numbers game for me. I'm not looking for Mrs. Right or Mrs. Right Now. I'm just looking for women to be around.
Look, dude, you know me. I mean, I'll admit right out the gate that nature has given them a bountiful harvest. Okay, no question. Especially some of the girls that you tend to like. And I just like... Wait, you like big-breasted women. Is that wrong? Yeah.
No, you're exactly right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so... And just like... I don't know, man. I just think... thinking of them as harvesting is only going to lead to pain.
Well, true. I don't think any woman's listening to this being like, gotta jump on that dude. He's in a slump and he's looking to harvest.
I'm ready
romance.
To be a wingman.
I wasn't trying to be a wingman there. I was just speaking to Ted.
Yeah, look, see, I mean, Cobb is what I'm talking
strategy.
About. We don't even have good wingmen in our group.
Look, the thing is like, we're here strategizing behind closed doors and microphones and Skype and stuff, but like, it's not like we're out there surrounded by women and I'm saying, hey, go try and harvest that one, Ted, or like they're around. I'm just trying to give you advice. But yeah, I guess girls do listen to this podcast and they'll probably hear this. So
yeah, that's all right.
I like harvest. It works.
Yeah, I mean, right. If you're listening to this podcast, like, you're not going to be shocked by any of this talk.
Right.
And yeah, dude, of course. I mean, I'll tell you boys this. Since I moved down here, one of my big things was I realized in Seattle that I wasn't just meeting a lot of women. It's because I wasn't approaching a lot of women. And so I've tried to make that more of a piece of my life. Not approaching them with any intent necessarily, but just like Ted said, just upping the volume game so I get better at those interactions. Because there was a couple of women I met last year that, frankly, I just didn't have like the skills to stay in a long relationship with them. You know, like we hung out for a while, went on a couple dates, but you know, there's a skill set that comes with that. And frankly, you know, I've been single for a long time on and off throughout my 20s. And you know, it takes time to build that skill set. So my move, Ted, is the long-term play of just like exposure and just like you were saying, just high number of interactions to get better at dealing with it.
Yes. Trust me, I'm blaming you in Texas. Like I was fine just cruising along, hanging out with people. Then I was in Texas and it seemed like it was so easy to talk to women. I mean, I struck out like 3 times and like it just wasn't a big deal. And I was like, I'm back here in Seattle, man. I got nothing.
Really?
Dude.
So do you think it's the women?
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, wait.
No, I hear what you have to say, cop.
Okay. Ted, I got to tell you, this is your friend. You talk for a living, man. Like you're one of the best talkers I've ever met in my life.
Correct.
And I think the problem is around these beautiful women, you just clam up. And as soon as you open that big mouth of yours, you're gold, dude. Like she's yours. But you know, once you get past that, and also once you realize, like, I think sometimes you undersell yourself, man. You're an awesome dude. You're one of the coolest people I know. And as soon as that, like that comes across in your communication with other dudes, because you're relaxed, dude, you're chilling, you're smoking weed, doing your thing, dude. And people love it. You know, they love hanging out with you. But I think around women, like you like that, you like,
I'm pressing,
what's that called? Like,
I'm pressing, what? I'm pressing.
What do you mean pressing?
Like trying too hard, pressing, you know, it's
oh
like,
no, I was going to say the opposite. I feel like you're like, holding
too
back
quiet?
Almost.
Yeah, man. Good call. I don't know. It just seemed easier in Texas. And I mean, look, everybody's got their downfall, right? Like I talk for a living, but talking to women's different. I mean, you look at some guys that win world championships in tennis, but they can't play on clay. So like, we all have our limitations. Anyhow, I'm still blaming you in Texas. Seems like we were talking to chicks all night.
Dude, well, honestly, my point was just that I believe in you. And I think that as soon as you get out of your own way, it's going to be just a watershed, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think was the difference between Texas, where you were talking to all these women, and Seattle? Is it the group of guys you were with, or is it just that there's more women, or like, what's the main factor there?
Two things in Texas. Number one, like, frankly, like, I feel like Cobb and I, when we're together, like, if he approaches a woman, it makes me more confident to go approach a different woman, too. And then number two was, there wasn't the constraints. I don't want to sound the bad against any of my friends, but it wasn't the same comfortable group. So I didn't feel as attached to the group the whole time. I felt fine to kind of walk off and go talk to people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Whereas sometimes like I just get caught up hanging out with the same people all the time. I get no offense, but there's no, you know, like you're not going to meet new people that way.
Right.
You know, which is cool. I love all those people, but you know.
I gotcha.
Right.
It gets comfortable.
Right.
So, okay, cool. So how often were you and Cobb going out and hitting the town here in Seattle?
We weren't.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it was just being out of town.
So you have, like, a sense of regret that you missed all? Because, like, it sounds like he's helpful, and you had him here in Seattle, and you could have been up in your Seattle game that whole time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now he's I'm just saying, Texas.
Right, but I'm just saying it was more of going to Texas, seeing that number of attractive women, and just being more open that kind of reignited the fire.
Okay, and have you...
And plus, like I said, like, if Cobb was still here, like, I would do the same thing. Me and Cobb would hang out with the same friend group all the time. Like, it's not like me, Cobb, and Lance haven't had this conversation. Right? Like, sorry, Matt, you've had a girlfriend for a while. Like, the single guys in this group have chatted. So that's what I'm saying.
Dude, let's get one thing clear. Like, I'm no Casanova. I just think, like, when we're together and we're out of our home city, because there's also something about evolutionary pressure of like when you're around your tribe or whatever of trying to meet women and failing and like send some signals to the other women or whatever. I don't know. I read some weird thing about it, but anyway, I think being out of town helps is my point.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like being in a fantasy land.
Can you bring that spirit to Seattle? Have you had any like success with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I got to start with stop going to things and just couples.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. Your boy's fired up. I don't have an exact plan here.
Okay, cool. You just know you're in the contemplation phase. You're strategizing.
Correct.
Gotcha.
I'm going to make better decisions to benefit Ted.
Good.
Dude, I would like to suggest a strategy.
Hit me.
Okay, my strategy would be a little bit more of a orthogonal or non-direct approach. I think.
Thank you for the definition.
In my experience, when I have a woman with me, it is 10 times easier to talk to other women because you're already, you've got that social proof, you're already deemed a safe, whatever.
Yeah.
And since you do have an uncanny ability to make friends better than almost anyone I've ever met, what I would do is I would genuinely just make really good friends with a hot chick, and maybe she's not in a relationship, or she doesn't even have to be like that attractive, whatever, just even, something middle of the road, but a cool chick to hang out with, and then start going out and doing things with her on a friend level. That immediately gets you in the door. I mean, that's 10 times better than being out with me.
Dude, honestly, I already have that person in mind too. And it's a mutual friend of ours.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I just ran into her a couple weeks ago and I was like, this person's awesome. Like, why do we never hang out? She was like, come out. I'll introduce you to people. I was like, all right.
There you go.
Beautiful.
All right.
It's happening.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Now you got an action plan.
Right.
Nice.
Concrete next steps.
Right. Are you guys familiar with the Bills Mafia?
No.
All right.
Is that a rap group or is it a fan of the Buffalo Bills?
Thank you, Matt. Fans of the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
So the Bills Mafia has gotten very famous over the years for two things. Their party antics and the fact the Bills don't win. I will say Buffalo Bills fans, I doubt we have one listening, but if we do, like, I feel bad for you people. No, that sounds terrible. I have empathy for your struggle to win games. Basically, that's just a shout out to my buddy Duffy up there. Right? I love
Duffy. Him on Twitter. He's funny.
Duffy's great. So I feel bad for the Buffalo people. Like, they are great fans, but they just don't win. So anyhow, Cobb, over the years, it's kind of become like a joke with tailgating that it's the Bills Mafia, and they're more insane than anybody else. So you're talking jumping off tables and cracking them, like a wrestler would do.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. There's one tailgate in this lot, and the guy that runs it has these old rules for, like, you can't beer bong or anything like that. You can get wasted. But then at the end, there's these people stand underneath a van, and they just get sprayed with ketchup and mustard.
What?
Yeah,
underneath
exactly.
The van?
Underneath. Whoa. Right? That sounds terrible, right? Like, I'm going to stand underneath this van and get ketchup and mustard all over me.
What? I don't even understand physically how that's possible. They're standing underneath a van.
Well, like, you know what I mean? Like, the vans, like, the guys with the ketchup and mustard on top of the van.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So that they're standing there.
Dude, I got you. I was, like, picturing a forklift or, like, some weird, yeah.
Yeah.
And is this happening before the game?
Correct.
So they go to the game with condiments from head to toe?
I mean, look, I don't know if
they
go to the game.
They towel off, or are these tailgaters that aren't going into the game, and they can go watch it somewhere with a shower?
Yeah, I feel like maybe you've made the commitment by the time you get covered in condiments that you're not going to the game that day.
Scalp your ticket.
And, like, no sober person was like, cover me in condiments. Like, I've sprayed ketchup on somebody once because we were pissed drunk and celebrating a foosball victory in his home. It was in York, PA. What's up, Perk? Anyhow, so, Cobb, you know how much I love a tailgate. But the latest video coming out of the Bills Mafia is a guy trying to jump on a table, break it WWE style, but they've lit the table on fire. So then he subsequently catches on fire.
Oh, Jesus. I was just reading about some guy who lit his coworker's hula skirt on fire at a New Zealand house party, and the guy died.
Wow. Jesus.
I'm not a big fan of fire at parties or tailgates right now.
I mean, look, I think if you have a fire pit, there's nothing wrong with having a fire at a party. But
I'm talking about slamming your body through fire, Ted. There's a huge difference.
I'm with you. So that's the kind of the point I want to get to is, like, you know, I'm all for tailgating and stuff, but like with these guys, it's almost like how much is too much? And like, what do you do next? Like, you got to kill somebody at this tailgate? Like, you already lit a dude on fire.
Look, dude, here's the truth. Okay. Here's what you probably don't want to hear. That guy is you 10 years from now. If you don't change your act, he's got no wife for sure. The guy who's slamming himself through a table at a Buffalo Bills tailgate party. Like, come on, dude.
You know what? You're right. Maybe he's just a soul like me. And he said, you know what, man? Fuck it. This week I'm jumping into fire. Some chick is going to love that. And I'm getting laid.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, man. That's why we got to correct course now, because I can't have you be that guy. Seahawks, North Lot, going through a table covered in fire. I don't want that for you, man. You're better than that.
Have you seen somebody jump through one of those tables at a tailgate?
No.
No.
I saw it at Michigan. And it was, and Cobb, I mean, you're nailing it on the head. It was like a guy like me, mid-30s, he's drunk, he's on top of a car, he jumps off. And I mean, he broke it, but it looked so painful, and it's like, that's going to suck the next day.
Oh, God, yeah, nobody wins, man. Nobody wins.
Yeah.
But the crowd wins. I guess fun to watch.
Yeah, just Google, folks. Just Google, like, Buffalo Bills or Bills Mafia ketchup and mustard. And Pinto, Ron, Kenny comes right up, and there's video of people getting sprayed with the ketchup and mustard.
Wow.
Dude, that's awesome.
What do you think the craziest thing you saw at a tailgate?
Oh, man. Dude, honestly, the craziest thing I saw, oh, man, I don't really know how I can tell this story without getting anyone in trouble.
You don't name names.
Yeah, Matt, it's well beyond that. Okay. So the craziest thing I saw was actually something that I heard. At our tailgate at BC, dude, God, there's really no way to tell this without talking about the people involved. Okay. I'm going to tell this very generally. There was a major murder in the United States that made headlines everywhere, and the nation sat riveted as the details unfolded on TV.
All right.
Well, I found out that an acquaintance of mine's father was heavily involved in the research process. He was a coroner for this particular crime, and he was going to be coming to the tailgate 2 weeks out. So I did a bunch of research. Oh, what was that?
I said, all right.
Sorry, I'm trying to keep it really general because everyone has heard of this case. And so I knew he was going to be coming to the tailgate. So I did a bunch of research and I, you know, got my questions ready because you guys know I love research. And he gets there and I start pumping him full of beers. I mean, we're talking like you have not seen your boy slam natural light like this. And the thing is, I'm in college, so my tolerance is fairly high. But this guy, you know, he's just an everyday normal working dad at his daughter's tailgate, right? So we get about 5 to 7 beers deep, somewhere in that range where I'm feeling good and he's feeling dangerous and his wife is looking at him sideways.
Feeling dangerous.
And then I start to ask the details and dig into the questions, and what I uncovered shocked me. And that's really all I can say without being
more
detailed.
Wow.
Yeah, I can tell you boys off cast. It was crazy.
That is not
definitely a big murder.
Not where I thought you were going to go with this.
Yeah.
And by the way, like, this isn't shocking. We all know OJ is guilty.
It was not OJ. I will say that.
Time frame wouldn't check out on that.
Same era, though.
Huh.
Huh. All right.
I'll leave it alone.
I know. I gotcha. Matt, you ever seen anything crazy to tailgate?
No, I don't tailgate a ton. Like, I didn't go to college, so I think it's bigger there. And like,
Matt,
not,
you don't have to go to college to be a good tailgater.
I know, but it is.
Ted runs the goddamn tailgate tour,
I know,
man.
Right? I have
zero
credits.
I realize who I'm saying that to.
Ted, what's the craziest thing you've seen at a tailgate, man?
Man, the Maryland ones used to be pretty raucous. Like one time, a friend of one of my friends just started peeing on a guy's car. You got to keep in mind, though, this is like 3 p.m. So, I mean, the cops showed up pretty quick and were none too happy. And it was something as simple as like, hey, man, you're peeing on my car. Yeah, F you.
Yeah, that's the great thing about tailgates is like you're day drinking and people are hammered like it's 2 a.m, but it's bright light outside, you know, and you're on a school campus generally.
Yeah. And right. There's just like, I'm trying to think. I've definitely heard stories at West Virginia of them pushing over porta potties with Maryland fans in them. That's when I made a decision. I'm never going to Morgantown to watch the Terps.
Dude, and how about like some of the after parties too? Like when schools win big, they'll like light couches on fire and throw them out windows and stuff. Just total chaos.
Yeah, I mean, when University of Maryland years ago, like, what was this, like the early 2000s, we beat Duke in basketball at Duke.
Oh, wow.
And they were so fired up and our football program was so bad, people went to the football stadium, tore down the goalposts for a basketball win, brought them back to the middle of fraternity row, and started a massive fire.
Jesus.
So I remember me and my buddy Tugboat went down there and broke off a piece of the goalpost.
How the hell did you break off the piece of a goalpost?
You know, it's not that hard when it's been charred for a few hours and you kind of just like kick off a piece of it. I mean, I guarantee you he still has it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I always wanted to grab a part of the kingdom, but I never did.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm trying to think just some of the crazy interactions you see at tailgates, too, are just unbelievable. Like, I mean, just different age groups and everything. I mean, I remember once, I mean, this was just my family, right? So a few of us are in our 20s. We had children there and stuff. And where we were tailgating at Maryland, they had set up this whole area next to the soccer field or on the soccer field where they would host the visiting teams. So Florida State's having this massive tailgate. And like, I want to say me and Bernie and somebody else were like, all right, we're going to run over there, take their giant flag and just run it out. And like people in my family were like encouraging this, like get them boys.
Dude, I can only imagine how something like that would end. I mean,
what would end?
Of course, like the craziest of crazy fans go to tailgate at the away games, you know?
Yeah.
So I say running into the hornet's nest.
Right. If you're an away fan, especially in college at a game, you're either a diehard fan or you're a parent of an athlete.
Yeah, I agree. No middle ground.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be a strange guy to be in the middle. You know, it's funny. Like, the craziest thing in a tailgate, that's why I'm calling out the Bills Mafia. I mean, the dude was on fire. Like, I've seen a guy go through a table. I've seen plenty of beer bongs, plenty of shotguns. I'm trying to think. Been harassed a bunch. Remember Virginia Tech? One guy just kept yelling, "Turtle soup!" Terps were terrible. We had fun with that.
Dude, one other great thing I remember is there was this guy who, out on the baseball fields, they had some extra tailgates, and he had this giant wheel that you could spin, right?
All right.
And on this wheel, he had listed all these different consequences, and some are what you would expect, but some were much more intense. And he would get a line of, I kid you not, like 50 to 60 students waiting to spin this thing. So on the wheel, there was, you know, some basic things like take a shot off your friend, whatever. But then there was also things like call your ex right now.
Oh, that's evil.
Yeah, dude, and people would do it too because there was like so much peer pressure. Like the crowd would just be like, call your ex, call your ex, call your ex.
I don't even know what I would. Awesome. Yeah, I don't even know what I would say if I called my most recent ex.
That's incredible. That's good creativity.
Heard you had a baby.
Whoa, really?
I'm at a tailgate, blacked out drunk with a bunch of people you don't know.
Have fun.
Yeah, dude, exactly. Like, it was so uncomfortable.
Tell Dickie I said hi.
Yeah, tell your new husband I say hello. All right, I'll see you.
Right.
I'm just out here being a degenerate.
I got no responsibilities.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, like, is that the time you want to call your ex too, as you're hammered with a bunch of raging hammered fans next to you?
No, I don't know if that provides more. That might provide a little more cover. I mean, instead of just being like sad guy, like, oh, it's Saturday night, how you doing?
Yeah, that's how you want to do it. Right? Fired up with a lot of crowd support.
You know, in the words of Drake, you go 0 to 100 real quick. You just she answers like, "What up, bitch?" You gotta take it like you know that like that level. You're not sure you could actually beat up this dude, so it's like I'm gonna go crazy real quick, take it to that level, and hope he leaves.
Yeah, dude, exactly. You can't let it be a slow buildup like an arms race. You gotta go, yeah, exactly, 0 to 100, and just bring the noise right out the gate.
You still DTF? Good to hear from you, Ted. Sounds like you're doing well. You know
lots
it's
changed.
Right? You know it's noon on Saturday.
I'm drunk on a soccer field surrounded by soccer moms and mediocre women.
And these kids are terrible. They scored a goal all season. All right.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of good consequences on that wheel.
Man, that's a fun game. I will say my brother has a great story about being at a game and these dudes had an adult pinata, right? So it was loaded with little miniatures of liquor. But the problem was, granted, I wasn't there. How I hear the story is that the guys didn't have anything to tie it to. So it was just two guys holding it.
Oh, no.
And then
oh,
you're God. Blindfolding other drunk people to take swings at it. So, I mean, like when it burst open and all the miniatures fell out, I'm sure that was awesome. But I mean, that just sounds so dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous as hell.
Yeah, I mean, crap. I remember seeing Maryland games, just seeing people passed out in, like, the lawn, like, in the little grass area. Not that I would, but some people might have taken a Walkman off them.
That's all fine.
Right. All right, let's see there. Bill's Mafia. All right, Halloween. Question time, boys. Halloween. Is it still a holiday for children? Feels like it's a holiday for adults now. Discuss.
Well, that's because you're an adult with no children.
I was
going to
say, we don't have kids.
That's a strong point. Strong point, Cobb.
Dude, I would say it has gotten bigger for adults than it was. You know, it used to be the realm of small house parties in your neighborhood with friends. And now we're talking about, you know, giant events like, I don't know what that big one they're doing is at the Tacoma Dome, Freak Night. And I've seen like 5 or 6 big parties in Seattle. I know a couple of the burner groups are throwing big ones and like, yeah. So I think it's gotten, there's more like, quote unquote, sorry, Matt, epic to do, like just giant, large productions.
Yeah. It does. Like, I remember back in the day, like there was a certain group of people that really celebrated as an adult, but it was like, I don't know. It was always like bartenders or kind of that crowd, you know, that has a little more fun. But now it seems like everybody I know that's an adult goes out and does something.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I love going out for Halloween. And honestly, even like I hate to always come back to women, but they're the fairer sex and they all look so hot dressed up in their costumes. They love doing it. We love watching it. It's a great holiday.
I can't argue with that.
I'm just thinking about how at our party like that we go to that we were kind of referencing earlier, like all the chicks pretty much have dudes and like no one's dressed particularly slutty. Like it's just a good time with good people. But like half the fun of us or half plus of the fun of being a single dude on Halloween is all the scantily dressed women. And I don't know if this Saturday is going to be loaded with it.
No. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not being mean. I mean, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, literally, there was 3 single women last year. I brought them.
All of them, yeah. Are you doing anything like Friday night?
I mean, ideally, I'd be resting because Saturday's going to be a long night. But that's a lie.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably go out and have some beers.
Yeah, try and find a date. Girls will be out Friday.
That's not a bad
looking
call.
Looking for something else to do? Like, you give them a nice, spontaneous, epic
Oh, you mean
weekend.
For Saturday?
Yeah.
No, I'm not pulling that move.
Okay.
Like,
I was just thinking.
I like those parties. Those parties are too much fun. Like, dude, meet a girl, and the next day, it's like, I have no way to get her home.
I know what you're saying.
That could go bad. Like, dude, this girl is a drunken, like, psycho. Like, yeah, I've known her for 20-some hours.
Yeah, she seemed cool last night at the bar. I was kind of drunk.
Right?
They had a special on Miller
Lights. She seemed
lights.
Cool dressed as a sexy bee. I don't know about now.
Yeah. Right, like she still dresses a sexy bee. Like, yeah, she ain't been home. From what I could tell, she runs on French toast and Fireball.
God damn it, Ted! Pull yourself together, man.
Oh man, All right. You know, I think I had other serious stuff to get fired up about, but we've been having so much fun. I don't know if I want to go down that path.
Yeah, there's enough of it out there.
Right? I will say this, man. Yeah, Twitter. God damn, I love Twitter, but I miss Twitter.
I miss all social media. Instagram's like manageable.
Instagram's all right. People just put up pictures.
And I've like flooded my Instagram feed with like cool fitness shit, like random stuff for me to try and like pointers that I can help clients with and stuff. So it's all like, right. And so I've kept more control of it. I don't follow all my friends on it. I'm pretty sure people post a little bit less like, you know, inflammatory or like, you know, opinionated posts. But yeah, Facebook and Twitter, man, it's tough sledding through there.
And it's good. Like, I like that on Twitter I can get a lot of good information about stuff. And
like, when stuff's happening, you're like, right. You know exactly what's going on the ground.
But it's just like, I just feel like every time I log in now, and then not only that, but I feel really weird about whenever I tweet. Like, I mean, just last night I put out a simple tweet about hating the Eagles fight song. And I was just like, I don't know, the words hate in it. Like, am I going to get in trouble for this?
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely, well, particularly with us being, like, posting and being associated with the station, like, I don't, if someone has a problem with something that I post and they talk to the bosses about, like, I'm going to have to hear about it. You know what I mean? And so everything I say online is a lot more filtered these days. Because it's just like, it's not that I care if I offend someone. It's just that I don't want to hear about it from my bosses and have to deal with those, just even having that talk. Like, I doubt I would say something stupid enough to, like, really jeopardize my career here or anything like that. But, yeah, just, like, the idea of having to have an email back and forth because someone didn't like something I said or having to come in for a meeting or whatever. And it's just like, man, I got a lot of – I suppress myself a lot more these days. And scrolling through, there's a lot more negativity, it feels like. And it's like shining a light on stuff that's probably been there for, you know what I mean? But it's just a lot to handle. I just want to enjoy my life.
Yeah. Well, and I like all that stuff, but there's also a certain time where it should be funny. And like with a lot of the comics, like, man, they're comics. They're supposed to kind of make you uncomfortable too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but... Yeah, I miss old Twitter.
I like unflinching comedians, though. Like, they're still out there. And there's people that don't back down or apologize or, like, stick to their morals, you know? Like, Joe Rogan apologized about something a while ago where he, like, kind of missed. Well, he apologized about after that fight when he interviewed Cormier after he got rocked pretty good. But, like, I've seen him apologize about a couple things because there's, like, miscommunication or whatever. But... yeah, there's a lot of fake apologies in the public realm that are just annoying to me. And I think comedians should kind of, they're supposed to do that. Like, leave them alone. If you don't like it, unfollow them. You know, go somewhere else.
Some people don't have to apologize for stuff, right? Like, I mean, this is a very easy thing. But, like, when we were in Texas, we were talking about the Oklahoma quarterback, Baker Mayfield, right?
Uh-huh.
So when they won at Ohio State this year, Ohio State was ranked super high. They were both in the top 10. So he plants the Oklahoma flag at the 50 at Ohio State.
Oof.
That's right. Hey, I think it's awesome. But the next day, he's got to come out and give this apology, right? And then on Monday, because all the regular Oklahoma fans, like, dragged him on Twitter, like, why are you apologizing? And then he was like, look, they just made me apologize. So it's like, look, right? And it's like, if you're a Texas fan or an Ohio State fan, like, all right, Baker Mayfield's a dick to you. Like, what do you care? You know, like, I don't know. I'd rather have somebody come out and be sincere in an apology. Don't just apologize to apologize.
Yeah.
What's the one that gets me going? If you're offended by this, I apologize. Motherfucker, that is not an apology.
Yeah, I apologize if you're offended that you take it that you were.
Right.
Dude, I hate to always do this, but I just read a really good article on what you guys are talking about. It was one of the former... So you got to remember, like, with Facebook, for instance, you know, we have some of the smartest, most highly paid people in the world focusing their efforts on trying to keep you on a newsfeed for 0.3 more seconds. You know, I mean, that makes Facebook hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And so this guy, this former Googler who worked with their ad products, he helped launch a lot of their sort of main ad platform. He wrote this article. I was trying really hard to find it quickly, but that basically he was saying that modern day social media, and especially just the internet in general, is a DDoS attack on your brain. I mean, it's basically just flooding your brain. You know, it's all A/B tested over and over and over again to figure out stuff that you're going to click and stuff that's going to, you know, get you to pay attention to it. You know, in the what's it called? The attention age or whatever they're calling it. Like, oh, in the attention economy.
That's you know, what I was thinking. Nice. Currency.
Yeah. In the attention economy, you know, all that matters is them getting that like extra little click or that extra 5 seconds of your time to show you one more ad. And so what he was saying is just these companies, these massive companies and some of the smartest people in the world are incentivized to just flood your brain and completely overwhelm it. And so he was saying it's like a DDoS attack, you know, like a distributed denial of service attack. And basically that's happening every day. And so he was saying that he thinks 5 to 7 years from now, there's going to be a major, not backlash, but reversal. And people, you know, as technologies mature, we start to understand them better. And so, you know, you saw the same thing happen with radio and with television, as at first we didn't really understand it and the marketers kind of won. And then we realized, you know, how to separate marketing from content, at least to some extent. And so he thinks that there's going to be, the pendulum is going to swing the other way and people are going to start putting up more barriers and removing themselves a little bit from just blasting, you know, getting blasted in the face by those services on a daily.
Yeah. And I think that's good. I mean, I see some people post some stuff and it's like, look, man, I even agree with you, but like, why are you putting that out there? You know, it's just like, yeah. I don't know.
A lot of that.
Yeah.
All right. And he was also arguing that it inhibits your ability to create. When you're getting flooded with so much stuff, you're in consumer mode and it, yeah, it makes it tougher for you to have your own individual, unique thoughts and then create your own stuff, whatever that is.
It inhibits your ability
to
learn, too, because you're just getting, like, flooded with shit nonstop and your brain has a tough time, like, differentiating. Like, I'm trying to study for this nutrition thing and I've noticed that, like, I need to watch how much information enters my brain throughout the day so that that can be a bigger portion of it, which means not just mindlessly scrolling through Facebook and Twitter, you know, for, you know, 20 minutes or, you know, from 20 minutes to an hour a day. And then I'm going to, you know, spend an hour a day studying. Like, those are just going to, you know, that's a lot of competition for my brain cells. So I need to, like, really limit the amount of just, like, extra stuff.
I mean, I think you have
Dude, do you want a great tip?
Sure.
All right, turn your phone to black and white.
Black and white? What do you mean?
You can turn your phone in the services and then accessibility tab to black and white. So it's monochromatic. So it's black, white, and gray. It removes all color from your screen. Makes it way less attractive. The Aaron Cobb experiment. What?
I don't know where that is. I'm looking, though.
Nice.
Display?
Hold on. Pull up my phone and show you.
Display?
We're not looking at you.
Yeah.
I know. No, I'm like pulling it up so I can just tell him where to go. Settings, general, accessibility.
You have an iPhone.
Do you not?
No.
What are you on? You'll be able to find it.
All right. I'll look around.
I do think there's always a limit on input, though.
Yeah. Like that's what I've been trying to.
Yeah. Like I have friends that are into certain things, and it's like at some point I'm like, you need to take a break. Like, you're taking in so much input from all these different places. Like, whatever it is you're trying to find, you'll never find it because you're completely lost in your own head right now.
Yeah, information.
Yeah, totally. It's overwhelming.
All right, Cobb, you got some emails for us?
Hell yeah.
Let's get to them.
Sorry, I was doing those. I just was changing my phone back to color. Okay.
Do you keep yours on black and white or do you keep it on color?
I go back and forth. It really depends. I mean, Instagram is just terrible in black and white. And so usually I would say probably 40% of the time it's in color and 60% it's in black and white. Or grayscale, as they call it. Yeah. It helps a lot if you're trying to, you know, just, I don't know, think for yourself and be creative. Hey, gang, in regards to the Seattle Nazi, I'm a few episodes behind. It is against the law. It's disorderly conduct. I'm with Ted on this. No, it's not illegal to speak your mind, but with enough followers, you can form a small militia. What well-spoken leader and a large group of followers, with that, a lot can be accomplished. Look at Jonestown.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right. I mean, yeah. You only need one good leader to get that stuff going.
What's up, boys? I swear, without fail, every time I write the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Cobb is off in the world somewhere. I never know if my emails are reaching you all. Just wanted to write in and tell you how much joy I get from listening to your podcast. I drive about 30 minutes to work every day and love the drive because of this podcast. Keep up the solid work, boys. Josh.
Dope.
Thanks, Josh. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my cousin last night and I forgot, like, you know, for the three of us, we just sit here and do it. I forget that people over the years now are kind of attached to it and they kind of expect to hear our voices.
It's crazy that you just said years to me.
Yeah. I didn't even have a beard like this when we started.
I know. Cobb posted a picture of it a while ago, and it like came across my Facebook memories the other day. I was like, what?
Yeah, man. Crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
Dude, what's even crazier is that we've gone through this many winters of us like being stray alley cats and like talking about getting girls and all this stuff, and neither Ted or I have done really anything about it.
That's a good point, but I'm ready. I'm fired up now, Cobb.
We always say that, dude. Hey fellas, fairly like, new listener to the cast and I dig it, but anyhow, I think you boys are right over there.
No, I was just gonna say, like, when you say that reminds me, like, right, like, it's not like me and you haven't done fun stuff. Like, we went to Burning Man and like made friends. Like, neither of us got close to hooking up with a girl.
Oh, yeah, I would say there's people that live a lot shittier house cat existences than you guys do as alley cats, like all things considered.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one side or the, like, there's pros and cons to both sides. There's people on both sides that are getting a lot more of the pros than the cons, and you guys are definitely, like, some pros, and you guys are getting a lot of pros out of the alley cat life, as my observation.
Yeah. Still fun.
Well, I mean, that's
bitch.
Always been the big thing, right?
No,
it's like there's this party going on, and all the people inside, you know, all the people on the outside, the alley cats are looking at it, being like, oh man, I wish I could get into that party. Looks like they're having so much fun. They're all, you know, couples. And on the inside, everyone's looking for their coat to get the hell out of there. So, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, Cobb, you're a lot like me. Like, I've always said this to people. Like, if I have a bad habit when it comes to meeting women, it's just like, for years, it's like, if there's a chance to, like, hang out at a bar, slug light beers and watch football and hang out with the boy, like, even though I want to meet these women, like, I don't know, man. Like, it's a Maryland game. Like, Bob's buying the Miller Lite.
Something's got to give there, yeah.
Maybe some Rainiers. Like, can I hang out with her tomorrow?
Yeah, and most of the cool models, I'm going to be honest with you, don't want to spend all day in a dive bar.
Yeah,
as sad as that is for guys like us.
Models.
He lives in a different world than us, Ted.
No. That one girl I talked to at that bar in Dallas.
Oh, yeah,
where are you,
gotcha.
A model? Hey, I want my beer in a bottle. All right.
Yeah. Hey, fellas. Fairly new listener to the cast, and I dig it. All caps.
Nice.
But anyhow, I think that the state with the best chance would be... Oh, we were talking about the states going to war with each other. I think the state with the best chance would be the southern part of Arizona. Why, you ask? I'll tell you. First and foremost, one of the biggest boneyards in the nation is housed in Tucson. A boneyard's a base where old military planes and helis are kept and can be converted and ready to use at any given moment. Plus, we have a few Air Force bases around. Second is a company called Raytheon is there, and basically they build missiles and whatnot, as well as a decommissioned nuclear silo, so I'm sure that could be redone. And lastly, me being American-Mexican, as I like to call it, I believe that the drug cartels would still be very involved in the state and probably would be one of the biggest economic resources for it, because realistically, it's pretty damn hot there, and if southern Arizona breaks from the northern part, they probably would keep the water from the Colorado River dammed up so we couldn't get any of it, and crops would probably die. But anyway, that's my take on it. LARP on, gents, your Mexican-American brother.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with them. That my only issue with Arizona is I feel like the cartels in Mexico would just annex it pretty quick.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a narco state, no question.
Yeah, like, don't worry about the real thing. Plus, I mean, let's
But that
be
doesn't
honest.
Mean that they wouldn't be fighting with other states still, you know, for dominant control of the southwestern U.S.
Yeah, but, I mean, Arizona doesn't have the best rep. Like, I don't know. Are we going to go down there and keep fighting? Like, you know what? annex of Mexico. They're yours.
Keep them.
Keep them, right? Like some people will be freaking out in Scottsdale, but other than that, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm with you. Matt, your thoughts?
He made a convincing argument. I don't know enough about all that stuff, you know? I think I said that last week just based on what I knew. I picked Texas. That's a convincing argument. I still think Texas has a lot of people. I'm pretty sure drug cartels do stuff in Texas, too. It seems like they would. I've seen that show, Border Town Laredo. So I would assume that's a wash. That other stuff's kind of interesting, but I don't know all the, like, resources that are in Texas that might help with that. But that would certainly, like, move Arizona up on my leaderboard of states. I just don't know if it still cracks number one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Dude, real quick, one other thing. That was our last email. Real quick, one other thing I wanted to get out of the way since it's just chewing in the back of my head. With women, I mean, there's philosophy and then there's life. Like, we can sit here and strategize, you know, and chessboard it all day. But at the end of the day, like, you got to jump in there. And I remember this one time we were in, I went to Spain for the Running of the Bulls right out of college. And we were over there and I saw, I swear to you, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Three of us. I don't know if I can say this on the cast. Well, you know what? I'm just going to say it. We smoked hash in Spain. We were walking past the front of this cafe. Nice. And all three of us turn our heads at the exact same time. And we see this beautiful, oh my God, beautiful Spanish woman. I'm not even sure if she was real. Long, flowing black hair. She turns with a cigarette in her mouth, pulls it out like the most European thing I've ever seen, and just blows a little puff of smoke towards us. Right? So we're all flabbergasted. None of us think the other ones have seen it. So we talk about it real quick. And my friend's little brother is there. And he's like, man, if you think she's so hot, just go talk to her. And we're just like, dude, first of all, way too blazed for that. Second of all, that's not really how it works, man. Like, you can't just walk. I would have turned to stone, you know? So 3 hours later, we're in the bank and we're sitting there. And at this point, we're calling that girl from earlier Time Stopper. That's how hot this chick was. Like, she, I swear to you, stopped time for about 4 seconds there as we walked past. We get into the bank. We're sitting in those chairs waiting. And he looks up and he's like, dude, you know how the girl you saw earlier was the hottest woman you've ever seen? I was like, yeah. And he goes, that's the hottest one I've ever seen. Enter Time Bandit. Basically looks like the little sister of the girl we saw earlier, right? So, of course, without missing a beat, I'm like, well, it's easy, man. Just go talk to her. And so he's like pretending like he's going to try to big man us. Remember, this is like a full bank. Okay. And so everyone's just sitting in those chairs. It's quiet. It's awkward. It's like an office setting. You know, the AC is on. He gets up super confident, takes two steps and just wilts right back into the chair.
Yeah.
I was like, see, man, it's not that easy, dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's my original point is I just need to up the numbers game. Not harvest them, yeah, as Matt would say.
Volume, for sure.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get every ground ball. Sometimes you got to adjust. You got to shift over, you know, and put yourself in position.
Dude, and with you, just open up that mouth, man. You're a talker. Talk.
Right. Talk, man. Talk.
Dance with the girl who brought you. That's what you told me when we first met, and it still holds true.
All right, Matt, let's check in with you.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what Matt means.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to what's Matt means.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa.
Check out what's Matt.
Thanks for turning on your video for that, Cobb. God, I love that intro that there's just, like, that he didn't have to adjust our voices at all. He's like, no, you guys were right in pitch there.
I know. That's so crazy.
Let's see. This weekend, the main things that, I would say my main highlights were food-oriented, because Friday night, went out and found the best calamari I've ever had in my life.
Do tell.
Billy Beach Sushi in Ballard.
Billy Beach. Oh, I've walked by it, never been in.
We got a great happy hour, which is why I went. I've been to the happy hour like 3-4 times.
All right.
We got great rolls. Last time I went there was actually on my, or the first time I went there was on my birthday last year. And then I was like, we were going to my show. And then before that, it was like, oh, we'll go get some sushi. And we walked there and it was happy hour. They had some great rolls on good deals. And so we've been there like a few times over the past year or so. And then, but never ordered the calamari. And it came out and like, you know, calamari is a lot of times like really bready and like kind of chewy and squishy on the inside. This was like chunks of calamari meat. Not like over fried, like a little bit of, and it's spicy, and man, yeah, like blew me away.
Closer to like a tempura.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right.
But yeah, it was just prepared totally differently, and it was like, yeah, chunks of meat as opposed to just these little like deep fried whatever the fuck, and like some of them are good, but then you get those like squishy, gooey ones that are just like, I never liked those bites.
I always like the rings.
Yeah, the rings are the good ones.
Yeah, the one with all the tentacles looking like a little brain.
Yeah, and I've had some good ones, but I had some good ones in Maui actually, but this was just totally different, and it was really good. So check that out. Their happy hour goes until 7, like every day, I think. Maybe not Saturdays, but yeah, pretty good menu they got there. And then Saturday, even though Ted didn't text me back, I found my way to Jack's Barbecue. And man, that brisket is next level.
Isn't it?
Oh my God. We got like a plate with like some other stuff. So we got like some pulled pork and some ribs. But if I go back, I just get all brisket. Like it was
yeah,
so
my bad,
goddamn
dude.
Good.
Just check my phone. Like he's right. He texted me at 3:30.
Yeah.
Jack's to me is hands down the best barbecue in Seattle.
Yeah. So that was really good. And yeah, good tip on that. That was real awesome. Like I said, everything was good, but the brisket was like on a whole other level.
Yeah, even that place Cobb and I were at, like that meat was so good, but I don't know that the brisket in Texas was any better than what Jack's doing.
Cool. Yeah, I mean when I was eating it, I was like, okay, based on what you've said, this is what it's like in Texas. And I was like, I'd believe it because I don't know how this could get any better.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was really, really game changing. Sunday went back to my parents. We had to get the jet skis out of the water for the year, so got one last ride on those.
Is that a sad day for the fam?
You know, it's a bit of a tradition. This year was cool because there was like one part right by the boat launch where there was like a little glimmer of sunlight I got to ride through like all towards right. the end. So that was kind of cool. It's always a little you know, I don't want to say bittersweet. It just makes you nostalgic of the summer that's gone by.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sign of the changing of the seasons. You know, I usually end up wearing a shirt underneath the life jacket just to cut down on the wind chill factor. And the water's a little colder. It helps to go fast. You get less wet if you just fly down there. So it's always fun to just gun it and have the lake all to yourself. But because the weather's shit.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a thing for you whenever you're on that jet ski.
What?
Like, it's safer to go fast.
Yeah.
We have a better chance that we go fast.
Guys, trust me.
You'll be warmer if you go fast. Like, whatever.
There's always a reason to go fast.
Right? Like, we're on this jet ski. We got to go fast.
It's
just
turbocharged.
Pin it.
Yeah, so.
Pin it.
You don't understand, Mitch. And Cobb's just egging you on.
All right, so you put the jet skis
got the jet skis out of the water.
I know Mitch has a setup of food.
Yeah, he made breakfast before that, and then came back to Seattle to watch a game at my house, Flyburg. That was exciting. The Hawks crushed it. And then talked to Lance to close out Sunday.
Nice.
And sounds like he's coming. I was telling Cobb about this before we start while you were grabbing beers. Sounds like Lance is coming to Amsterdam with us.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he's going to come to Amsterdam at the same time as us, and we'll see exactly where he stays or whatever. But that was a real awesome way to end the weekend.
When are you guys going?
First week of May.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Sorry I didn't call you, text you back.
Oh, it's fine. Were you a GE2?
I was a GE2.
It looked awesome.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not big on like gaming and stuff, but I was doing the virtual reality, so it was like I was holding two giant swords when I was playing Fruit Ninja. That was pretty fun. That was pretty fun. I met a bunch of the Halo people. Took pictures with them.
Dude, you looked fly as f*** that day, too. I was seeing your pictures on Instagram.
Dude, thank you.
Yeah.
I've had that hoodie forever, and I never wear it. And then I bought those pants. I was like, these pass as regular pants, even though they're kind of like warm-up pants.
Yeah. But no, you looked good.
Oh, now, thanks, man.
Yeah. So, but when you were talking about that, I was like, dude, Ted looked so good. And he went to GE2, which was probably 80% dudes.
Oh, yeah. Like, trust me, like, one dude was like, that's a nice hoodie. But, like, nobody else gave a shit.
Yeah.
I will say, though, GE2 was a ton of fun. The Giant Fruit Ninja was cool.
Yeah, looked like it.
And then I met a bunch of cool people. Met a bunch of Army dudes. And then, like, me and Tanch from Hot 103.7 and Wingnut from 100.7 The Wolf and a couple other people that work here, like, we went over to Elysian and had meatballs and fireballs.
Dude, that's awesome. I love Wingnut. I want to hang out with him outside of this place.
Yeah, man.
I don't think we ever have. It's just always around here. I'm like, wow, you are a guy I like spending some time with.
Right. Or even like, that's a good example, right? Even just hanging out with like Taylor and Nicole. Like, it's just, like, I was just like, God damn it. Like, it's nice just sitting at here having a couple drinks. Like nobody's talking to these girls, but it's like, it's nice we got extra girls here. It's my whole thing. We just need extra girls.
More girls.
Right.
Yeah, that feminine presence and radiance. It's nice.
Yeah, dude, even when I go on some of those meditation retreats, right? I've been on one that was all dudes, and I hated it. Because it was just
so... that energy.
Yeah, it was so, like, kind of just macho, and you could feel all the egos in there. I mean, it was great work. People were having breakthroughs or whatnot. But, yeah, like, the last one I sat in, I told the girl, I go, this is the first ceremony I sat in that was, like, half and half. And I was like, I think that's great. She was like, why? And I was like, oh, when it's all dudes, man, it's too much.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have that feminine balance.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm still in this line from Bill Maher, but when it's all dudes, it gets really messed up. Look at the Catholic Church. Look at Penn State.
Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
Right? That's why people are like, can you believe they're letting girls in the Boy Scouts? Like, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Why don't we just call it the Scouts overall, right? Like, not all little girls want to bake and clean stuff. Like, I assume that's what they're teaching them. And, like you need to stop building like, you know what I mean? It's all little boys and then these men that run it. And there's a lot of great Scout leaders, don't get me wrong. But you're building areas that are just going to be preyed upon by pedophiles. You know what I mean? Like, you're building an environment for them. So, like, yeah, let women in. I mean, Catholic Church. We can have some female priests. We could even let priests date and meet women. Like, this isn't unheard of in other churches.
Yeah, I'm with you, obviously.
God damn it, Cobb. This is how bad it's gotten. Now I'm preaching to the Catholic Church. They need more women. Like, everybody needs to up their numbers. We need more women.
Come on, Archdiocese. I need you out there producing. Pope, let's go. Archbishops, holler at me. Let's go.
Right? Like, I've been confirmed. What has the church done for me lately? You know, I mean, we got a good line already, ladies. Free bread and wine. Like, come on.
Not seeing nuns in fishnets. Come on.
Right? Let's break the habit and get them a little sexier.
Spring break at the Vatican.
Spring break. Vatican City. Dude, Saturday night, St. Peter's Cathedral. Oh, it was live.
It's going to be sick, man. All the sinners are going to be
had
there.
Lasers.
Dude, Tiesto's playing Friday night. All right, I think it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
God damn, boys, I don't know how we do it, but we're talking about strip teasing nuns in the Vatican right now.
I know, and I want to go.
I know, it's awesome,
right? Like, right outside of the
don't
basilica.
Don't worry, we'll get baptized in the morning, and I'll be washed away.
Like, I'm sure this is going against most Catholic code, but that would be awesome to have a what is it, St. Peter's Square, or whatever, where you get the where the Pope gives all the speeches. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and you know the Pope would be standing on top of some giant pyramid of speakers, like, "What's up, y'all? Do yourself a favor and be there."
Right? Dude, remember 2017? They brought out Migos. I didn't even know those guys were Catholic.
He dapped up the Pope, man. Think about it.
Everybody's drinking out of chalices.
All right.
Ain't no party like a Pope Town party, because a Pope Town party don't stop. Mm. All right, go ahead, Cop. Sorry.
Get down, sister. All right. Those are all tools of the devil, boys. We're not going to condone that here on this podcast. So the cop topic this week is basically one that I've always been a little bit awkward about. I'm not really sure how to pull it off, and I'd like to hear your guys' strategies. So this happened to me last week, but you're at a party and you find yourself like stuck in a conversation with someone that you don't especially want to talk to, or like they're just going on and on about, you know, like something that you don't really want to talk about. What's your best quick escape line or move to get out of it? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com, or hit us up on the Twitter machine at thepodcast with two E's. What is your quickest escape line for getting out of a conversation you don't want to be in?
House party, bar, does it matter?
I'd like to hear your line or move for both. You know, let us into the bag of tricks, man.
I mean, a house party, generally, if it's like at somebody's house, I feel like you can use the bathroom one pretty quick. Because it's expected at a house party that you'll hang out in other areas. At the bar, it's tougher. Because if you use the bathroom excuse, they're still expecting you to come back to like the same spot in the bar. Right? Like if all four of us are hanging out there, and I could, it's like, after a while, you'd be like, where the hell's Ted? And what's he doing so long? So the bar is going to be a little tougher. I mean, man, I don't know. I usually just try to do the body language thing and just slowly start turning away, kind of just like, all right, you know, and like, I feel like if I could turn my body enough and throw in like three all rights, like they should get it. If not,
and then you're turned in a different direction. You just got to take some steps and you're out.
Yeah, then you're just doing a walk off.
Yeah.
Matt, what's your move?
I have a tiny bladder and I drink soda water like it's nobody's business. And regular water, but so I run to the bathroom enough, and then the house party situation, because when you were saying that, I was like, okay, let's see what happens Saturday night, you know, like we got a cool crew, but every once in a while, you know, people bring some friends that may not quite be on the low. It's not even that, it's just relative to the amount of awesome people there that I would rather be spending my time with, right?
Yeah. Yeah, remember that one time that guy brought a chick dressed like a dominatrix?
I do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail you. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, yeah, I just, I think the bathroom's a safe one in that kind of situation. And it's usually pretty sincere. Like when we're partying, I'm just constantly drinking soda waters like it's beer. And so, I mean, it's pretty much every half hour I'm going to have to go. So every 20 minutes, I'll be able to say I have to go. And then I'll hold it for like 10 more minutes. So I have a good out on that. Bars, I'm usually there with people I want to be with, and we're getting food, you know, it's a little different setting, but man, a lot of times I just kind of do, yeah, if the body language thing helps, but I just kind of sit there and don't really give them anything to really continue the conversation. Like, let it be so one-sided that it's like, all right, and just embrace the awkwardness until they can't take it. Like, it's like a stare down at that point. You know what I mean? It's like,
and you know, like for me, like the main thing I know is sometimes when in those conversations, don't ask a question.
Absolutely.
Don't, like, even though you think what they're telling you is completely ridiculous, don't respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, kind of like Matt's saying, let them finish up their thing. I'm halfway turned.
Sit in
I'm
that
out.
Silence, Cobb. Just sit.
Dude,
in
that's
it.
Always tough for me. I always ask that one question that gives them like another 10 minutes of runway.
But like you visit the cringe subreddit. You appreciate that kind of humor when you're not involved in it. So you just got to realize you're in it. Realize you're going to laugh about it later. If you can find it in yourself to laugh at that moment in your head about how uncomfortable you are, you'll be better off for it. But eventually they're going to crack.
They will break.
Yeah, and I feel like more often than not, you run into these conversations in bars. Because generally at a house party, like you're saying, like there might be one or two people you don't know, but it's generally a collection of like friends of your friends. So you're going to have something kind of in common with them.
Yeah.
Dude, I kid you guys not. I was on the phone with the father of one of my close friends. And we got to an hour and 48 minutes.
I got
before
it.
I was just like, I have to get off the phone. I'm sorry. I have to go.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that's
a known
fine.
Long talker.
Was that the dad I met?
Possibly. Did you meet him this summer
No. I met him out here when his son was out here for a sporting event.
No. All right. Different dad.
All right.
I'm talking about a local dad in Seattle.
Yeah, dude, trust me. I've done it, and I've done it to other people, too. Eventually, it's like, all right, I got to let you go. I'm just chewing your ear off.
Yeah, dude, totally.
We've had some really long phone talks.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely. It's usually pretty back and forth.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I feel like over the phone, it's easy to be like, well, I got to go. And, you know, they can't really question you. You know what I mean? And they don't know what you're going to go do because you're not there. So I feel like if you had a phone conversation like that go that long, that's on you, because I have an easier time wrapping up a phone conversation than if you get trapped in one of those things in the flesh.
I agree, but he's a known long talker, and even his son was just cracking up. He's like, dude, you just don't feel rude. You have to just cut him off, or he will go forever.
Yeah, I know a few people like that.
Well, I feel like people like that are probably used to it. Like, I certainly get like that sometimes, and like, you know, every once in a while, someone kind of hits me. All right, dude. And I'm like, oh, damn it, did it again. So I'm sure he's aware.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All right. Well, there you go. I think when you listen to episode 198, let's increase the numbers. It's the main thing.
Ratios, people.
Ratios, people. Let's look out for yourself. Increase those numbers. It's a very selfish podcast this week. Anyhow, Cobb, good to have you back in. Everybody's fired up. You're back on the cast. That's awesome. So this is episode 198 for MCTP. For Cobb, I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.